Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
And finally on our program tonight, Markets and Company News. It's a Thursday night. That means Simon Brown from Just One Lap. Simon, let's wade straight in. A bonanza today as Boxer lists. It's a big year for the JSE. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, the biggest IPO for the bourse in a couple of years.
Evening, Jeremy. Absolutely. I mean, we probably have to go back to, pre-pandemic. I mean, you might be thinking sort of maybe a disc came. There have been some other big listings, but they've been unbundlings. I'm thinking Premier Group and the like. So Box is a big deal. The price was 54. That was the offer price or top of the range. That was the price that was eventually settled on. And what we got is it opened. First trade was 63.01, and it's pretty much been trading higher all day. It's been a huge listing. It's been a huge successful pick and pay. Obviously for the JSE, they love to see this sort of traffic coming through. And I think we've probably got more upside here. The valuation at current levels is steep, but the allocation is oversubscribed by about tenfold. Now, some folks would have applied for more than they wanted, anticipating not to get full allocation. So you ask for more, get less, and kind of settle in the middle. But I think there's still good demand for it out there. Although, as I said, it's looking quite expensive, not expensive, looking pricey at these points.
But it's really interesting and almost sort of ironic and sad as well that eventually its market cap is probably going to be bigger than Pick and Pays.
Oh, absolutely. And at this point in time, if you now assume what that Pick and Pay still owns over 60% of Boxer and got the $8 billion to pay down debt, if you buy Pick and Pay right now, you're pretty much getting Pick and Pay for free because of that 60-odd% holding that they have in Boxer, pretty much equals that market cap. It really does tell you just how the tides have turned. And it's a weird story. We often talk around the 10-cent story with NASPAS and how Chris Becker and his team got lucky. Boxer, if my memory serves, they bought it in about 2002, and they paid about 35 million rand for it. And now here we have a company, quickly trying to say, maybe a 40 billion market cap. So not quite 10 cent, but a really, really good acquisition all those many years ago.
So Sean Summers has got between 8 and 8.5 billion, as you say, to reduce its debt. This really is a make or break as far as his turnaround strategy is concerned.
It absolutely is. There have been a couple of sort of key milestones. This is absolutely one of them. It takes significant pressure off the balance sheet. I mean, Pick and Pay was technically insolvent. This really has sort of taken them to the next step. Now, perhaps the really, really hard part starts, and that's turning around Pick and Pay. That's turning around and upgrading old, tired stores, getting shoppers who've deserted them for the likes of the ShopRite stable back into Pick and Pay stores. That is going to be, I think, the really, really hard part. When Sean Summers took over about a year ago, he said it was a three-year journey. It's going to be a hard 2 years still to go.
So it's a lot of conversation about retail today, but let's move from Pick and Pay and Boxer to SPAR. Group turnover up 4%. It's reported higher full-year earnings, Simon, and saying in a note that it's making progress in its strategic priorities. What are those priorities?
Yeah. So the first strategic priority was to exit Poland. That has been done. They've successfully concluded that Poland is no longer a part of the business. Truthfully, they bought Poland. They bought it essentially out of bankruptcy. If memory serves, they paid €1 for it. It did ultimately cost them money because they put both management time and rands into the operation to try and get it going. The second big part is the SAP problem that they're having in KZN. And in this report, they say interventions to resolve SAP impacts in KZN are well underway. This is now almost 2 years of that disaster, which is where it hurts them is in the immediate, in that, you know, a customer went into a SPA in KZN and they didn't have what the customer was looking for because of SAP problems. the longer term problem is, where did that customer go and did they come back to Spar? And it's the same problem Pick and Pay is going to have, is winning that customer back. But overall, not a bad set of numbers, not exactly knocking it out at the park, debt going in the right direction, earnings per share looking much better, although off a low base. And as you say, Ryan, profit after tax up almost 21% at $1.6 billion.
Simon, talking about knocking it out the park, a note earlier today, Mr. Price's market cap, over 70 billion now, in fact 72 billion rand. That's an increase of 80%. Again, just indicates the potential strength of the retail sector right now.
Absolutely, and I was I'm one of the fortunate who made that 80% to Mr. Price, because when we sat in January and we could look out at 2024, there was a lot that was unknown. We didn't expect the load shedding to end quite so abruptly. We thought it might get a little bit better. We weren't sure how the elections would go, but we knew that as a country we did peaceful elections. But we also knew that interest rates would start coming down, inflation had come down, two-pot money would at some point come through, and some of that was all going to benefit the likes of Mr. Price, and it absolutely has. We're now starting to see some of that. If we look at the Mr. Price trading update, if we look at the Pepco results from earlier in the week, the sort of period up to September was tough, still very tough. Mr. Price did only 0.4% like-for-like store sales, which means volumes going backwards. But the period post-September has been markedly improved for the lower-cost clothing retailers, Pepco, Mr. Price. And that is probably two-pot money. And rates have been slower and later than everyone had hoped. But it is taking some pressure off the average household and will continue to do so into 2025.
A little earlier in the program, I spoke to a representative from the World Platinum Investment Council talking about the metal remaining in deficit for a third consecutive year. But against that backdrop, Simon, the JSE in London listed miner Tharisa reporting higher full year earnings, and that's boosted by chrome production and sales, which is all part of that metals continuum.
Absolutely. So, I mean, they're a platinum miner, and they did mine production, and platinum production was up 0.3%. But one of the byproducts of mining PGMs, which has largely been ignored by the PGM sector pretty much forever and a day, we used to have SA Chrome listed on the market. They used to focus on the chrome part, is chrome. And there we saw concentrate production up 7.6%. We saw price increases at the same time. And chrome is a clean metal. It is going typically into stainless steel. It is infinitely recyclable. And what's important is that Chinese stainless steel manufacturers have, to a fair degree, sort of tooled their factories to specifically for South African chrome deposits. That's the platinum concentration, whereas you would otherwise get it from perhaps North America or Russia, maybe not Russia anymore, but that was more palladium heavy concentrate. So there's almost a captive market that we have. And demand is certainly booming. And places like Japan are looking to replace pretty much all of their piping with stainless steel, moving away from, in some cases, 100-year-old pipes in the ground that sort of crack and start to leak.
Simon Brown is our Thursday market commentator from Just One Lap. Simon, as always, thank you very much indeed. Appreciate your time.
Always a pleasure.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.